Dr. Gloria Velasquez is a novelist, poet, singer-songwriter, and professor of Chicano studies at Cal Poly. Beyond her title as professor, Velasquez likes to think of herself as an artist and humanitarian. She grew up in the small town of Johnstone, Colorado, in a family of farm workers who moved around constantly, working in sugar beet fields. As a child born into poverty in the 1950s, Velasquez experienced racial discrimination.
Signs that said no Mexicans allowed, where you couldn't go to the theater except for it was a certain day of the evening, seeing my mother humiliated. All of that, I think, is what drove me to pursue social justice and to speak on behalf of others.
Velasquez got into the University of Northern Colorado, where she became involved with the Chicano civil rights struggle.
You know, here we have Cesar Chavez, but in Colorado we had Corky Gonzalez, who was the leader in Denver. The Crusade for Justice was his organization. So I became an active member of the Crusade for Justice. I became politically empowered.
She began making the connection between her creative voice and her community by publishing her poetry in the early 1970s, after much involvement in the Chicano art renaissance. Velasquez came to Stanford in the 1980s. She said going to Stanford allowed her to put her Chicano issues in a global perspective. Soon, she began publishing her short fiction. For the past 20 years, Velasquez has been writing the Roosevelt High School series, a series she started in 1994. She describes her inspiration.
I was lying on the couch, channel surfing. Again, I stopped it on the then Joan Rivers talk show. And why did I stop it there? Well, of course, I'm fascinated with authors, but they were interviewing Judy Blume, and I'd never read Judy Blume, but my daughter had read her in high school. Mm-hmm. And I sat there listening to the interview and became a little frustrated because none of her characters were Chicanos, African Americans, Puerto Ricans. And at that very moment, the falling star came, and I said, I need to write books. Somebody needs to write books for adolescents of different ethnic backgrounds. So I grabbed my little journal and sketched out the first three books in the series. And that year, I spent the first year writing the first novel, Juanita Fights a School Board.
Soon after the first book, she published Tommy Stands Alone, which received much backlash.
Yeah, so you have several of your books from the Roosevelt High School series right here. And I'm holding Tommy Stands Alone, which was banned in your home state of Colorado.
Yes.
And, you know, could you explain why it was banned and how did that make you feel?
Well, my friends all said, well, you know you're a writer when your books are banned. But I thought it was ludicrous. I had been invited to a school in Longmont, Colorado to go read poetry. I was never going to discuss the series, but a teacher apparently was having the students read my book, so several parents became upset.
She said she thought it was silly and that the book ban drove sales. Her latest book, Tommy Stands Tall, is a sequel to the once banned Tommy Stands Alone and is loosely based on the life of her cousin.
Well, actually, when my cousin, Steve Joseph Quintana, that the character is based on, was at home, you know, on his final days, I asked him, what would you like Tommy to become? You know, because I'm thinking I'd like to write, you know, maybe one day I'll write a book about him. I hadn't decided at that point. He said, I'd like for him to be a teacher.
So, the novel continues the life of Tommy.
He was hiding. He wasn't, you know, out about being gay. And as Tommy stands tall, he's empowered, and he now becomes a leader, and he decides to start a gay-straight alliance at Roosevelt High School, which is named after my old high school back home. Wherever I travel, people say, oh, I went to Roosevelt High School, but I named it after my old high school back home that never encouraged me about anything. You know, we were not literally segregated, but, you know, they never encouraged people of color to do anything.
She describes her favorite part of the novel.
I think when he is given that award, and I think he stands, you know, and accepts the award, and he's so proud, and even though his father hasn't gone because his father is still having difficulties accepting him, mm-hmm, as for who he is, and I think that did happen to my cousin Stephen Joseph Quintana. It took maybe 10 years before his father was able to accept him. I think that moment, because then he feels... He, you know, it's standing in his own greatness. And I think that we all will have moments like that, hopefully.
She said that since she's been writing this book for 20 years, her novels have ties to and are shaped by actual history.
You know, Tommy Stands Alone, the AIDS quilt, when it came to San Luis Obispo, I put a chapter in there, and that's one of my favorite chapters. And then also when I was writing Tommy Stands Alone, our great leader and hero, Cesar Chavez, passed away. I stopped writing the book, went to attend his funeral, and when I came back, decided I would have a scene where Dr. Sandra Martinez, who I haven't mentioned, the co-narrator, is reflecting on Cesar Chavez's funeral. So that Tommy Stands Alone is one of my most favorite important books because of the homage to Cesar Chavez, also our great hero. Teen Angel is dedicated to the TAP program in Arroyo Grande, where I went and visited and did research with teen moms who are in that program. It's to help them get through high school so that they can still get their diploma even though they've, you know, are pregnant or have children. Juanita Fights the School Board, there actually was a Juanita. She actually did, was, you know, thrown out of the entire school district. I mean, so each of them have something very special, such as that moment with Tommy Stands Alone. And it's generally something that's reflecting reality, something that I have experienced.
Not only did Velasquez write a young adult series featuring people of color, she was the first to write a young adult series that tackled social issues.
And you alluded to earlier, you were writing about these issues a long time ago. The
yes.
issues that you tackle in these books are timely now, and they're things people are talking about now.
When I was in high school, which was a long time ago, there weren't any books that had characters who looked like me. And so I felt like I was invisible, as most people of color did during that time period. And so I wanted to make myself visible, make Chicanos, African Americans visible in young adult books. And so that's one of the things that I think throughout the country where they read my books, I can't tell you how many students will race after me and say, my name is Juanita, you know, or my name is Maya. And they just feel so empowered because they can see themselves in my books.
Yeah.
She said that the books hopefully can raise the self-esteem of young adults.
The self-esteem of adolescents of different ethnic backgrounds. You know, that's why we have the highest dropout rates, African-Americans and Chicanos, because of the low, I think it's tied to the low self-esteem, and it's coming from the structures. I always talk about structural discrimination. Given ethnocentrism in this country, you know, English only, and I think that has affected the self-esteem of many individuals. It certainly did mine. And so I think that that's something that affects the self-esteem of young people. And my books are a way of, and my poetry, everything I do is to raise the self-esteem of young adults.
The best way for struggling youth to get ahead, Velasquez says, is to
educate yourself.
She speaks about a popular poem she's written.
One of my poems, Educate, which is, I wrote it maybe in 1996. It's the most popular poem. I've rewritten so many versions of it. Why is it so popular? Because the message, educate, get an education. Because education is knowledge and knowledge is power. And the only way we can change our communities and you know, elevate ourselves to positions of power is through education. And the students, you know, I've read those poems in Navajo reservations. I think in the 90s I was doing touring with as a part of the Penn program in different indigenous reservations, and they also needed to hear that.
Velasquez says that although her writing has received negative feedback in the past, her messages on education and social equality in her teaching, her books, and poetry have driven positive responses from recipients. She shares how students and others have reached out to her.
I've received letters from teens, not about Tommy Stands Tall, but about Tommy Stands Alone. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a gay friend, and he wanted to kill himself, and so I gave him a copy of your book, and I said, here, read Tommy Stands Alone. You know, I received so many letters about Tommy Stands Alone. There were positive letters, teenagers saying, I have a friend who's gay, but he's afraid, or she's afraid.
So, while Velasquez has reached out to young adults in other parts of the country, her presence on the Central Coast is not as prevalent.
And will kids, young students on the Central Coast be reading Tommy Stands Tall?
I don't know, because I get so disheartened with the San Luis Obispo. I spoke with a librarian a few weeks ago, and she said they didn't carry a single one of my books. And then I remember when Tommy Stands Alone was banned, one of the librarians made a remark, something like, no, we don't carry her books, and we wouldn't carry her book. And so, you know, I don't know. I hope so. I did do research with a local GSA, and I'm hoping that, you know, they do use the book. And actually, I have some friends I have a friend who works with teen groups of LGBT students, and he did take a book, and he said he was going to promote the book with them and share it with them.
She says that even though there have been positive reviews with Tommy Stands Tall, she will have to see if the Central Coast will read her new book. For now, she has some other plans in mind.
I'm always asked, when I wrote my first poem, and I date it back to my first guitar when I was about 7 years old. And I think, I love to sing and play the guitar, and I think singing again comes from my Navajo, from the oral tradition. And I think that's another important part of my series. What I'd like to do now is take a break from the series. I'm working on the 10th novel right now. I'd like to take a break and publish some books of poetry. I've only published 2 books of poetry because I've been too darn busy with the series. I don't want to stop with the series, but I decided that's what I'm going to do now.
Whether she's writing novels in the Roosevelt High School series or writing poetry, the message is the same in each medium, Velasquez says. It's about providing a voice for others who may not have one.
Really, but this pursuit of social justice, you know, it's for all human beings. And I think that's the way I've been my entire life. You know, that's how I teach at Cal Poly. I always teach compassion. I teach, you know, I talk about respecting and others and having, human dignity for all. And I think that's something that, again, going back to my own, the way I was raised, where we were, you know, they hated Mexicans, forget being indigenous. And I think that is what empowered me to speak out on behalf of others.
Velasquez says that as an author and artist, she said she's inspired all the time because of what she sees in her life and her desire for change. So when I asked her how she gets her ideas or how she deals with struggling to write, it seems she had a response contrary to what I've been told by a lot of authors.
I have the opposite of writer's block. I always have an idea for something. It's always there, constantly. I think the longest I've ever gone without writing is maybe... once I went 2 weeks. I've never seen that as a problem. Mm-hmm. It seems like I'm always inspired by everything.
And this book is dedicated to 3 of your family members.
Yes, to my cousin's mother, my aunt, mm-hmm. and his father, and his sister.
The book will be available for signing this Saturday, May 31st. Velasquez will be signing her latest novel in the Roosevelt High School series at Barnes & Noble in downtown San Luis Obispo from 2 to 3 p.m. And I was wondering if you would be willing to sign this Tommy Stands Tall book here.
It would be my honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
For Issues and Ideas,